I suspect that many of us have lots of excuses why we don't pray. We might not verbalize them, but they are there in our minds. I'm too busy to pray. There's just so much I need to do. I don't have time to stop and pray. Well, the Bible shows us that prayer is the lifeblood of our life. Or, I just don't feel able to pray. I just feel ashamed, and I don't feel ready to pray. And we were looking last week at Hannah. She came just as she was. So you don't have to reach a certain standard before you can pray. Come as you are and pray. Or, I don't know what to pray about. I know I should pray, but what do I pray about? And that's where Bible prayers are so important. And we're looking at a Bible prayer today. But we looked at Daniel. As he read the Bible, he was stirred to pray. And I want to suggest two images of how the Bible and prayer are like fuel. The first image, there was a couple who were traveling along in their car, and they saw this posh car by the side of the road, and this posh businessman looking all agitated. So they stopped the car, and they went up, and they asked if everything was all right. And he said, I've run out of fuel. I've got this important business meeting, and when I got in the car, I saw that there was very little fuel, but I thought, no, I can make it. So he drove off and ran out of petrol. So they said, well, we've got a gallon in the car. And they put the petrol in, and they said, just up ahead, there's a petrol station. If you stop there, you can fill up. So he drove off, and as they were driving along, there's the same car. Stopped by the side of the road. And he's looking even more embarrassed. And they stopped, and he said, well, I was late for the appointment, and I just felt, if I stop and fill up with fuel, I won't make it in time. So he carried on, and he ran out of fuel. I think that expresses how we often are with prayer. I'm so busy, I've got so much to do, I haven't got time to pray. And yet prayer is actually fuel for our lives. It's stopping and saying, Lord Jesus, please give me what I need for today. It's fuel for the day. But sometimes we're too busy. The other image I want to leave with you is that reading the Bible is like gathering wood for the fire. As we read the Bible, and as we think about what we've read, the Holy Spirit takes it, and he stirs our hearts and our minds, and he lights the fire of prayer. And the fire keeps burning as we read the Bible. It's like there's more logs being added to the fire. And so Bible prayers help us in our praying. They are like the logs, so that we can know what to pray for. And the Holy Spirit stirs our hearts and minds, and we say, yes, this is what I need to be praying for so-and-so. I want us, as we look at the passage, to look at overflowing thankfulness, to look at growth in essential areas of our lives, and then being a participant, not a spectator. So, first of all, let's read together Colossians 1, verse 3 to 14. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel, that has come to you, All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you, since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learnt it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Overflowing thankfulness. One of the key things you notice about Paul, whenever he prays, he's full of thanks. He can't stop giving thanks to God. He says, we always thank God. And he was thankful because he saw God at work. He saw God's power changing people's lives. You see, the gospel is all about the character and the work of God. It's about the truth and grace that we see in Jesus. And as Paul looked at these Colossian Christians, he saw that they had been forgiven. Their sins had been forgiven. And so he's thankful to God for them. He saw that they had been rescued from the power of darkness, from sin and death and Satan. And they've been brought into a wonderful freedom under the rule of Jesus. And so he can't stop giving thanks to God for them. He sees that they have been given a glorious inheritance to look forward to. These are people in whom God has invested a huge amount. The death of his Son, the gift of the Spirit. God's investment in their lives was enormous. And so Paul gives thanks that these are people whom God has changed. And then he picks out particular aspects of their lives, the fruit of the gospel, the evidence that God had worked in their lives. And so he talks about their faith. As I look at you, I see your faith. You have trusted in Jesus. You have trusted in the work of the cross. And you're continuing to walk by faith in him. Faith is very simply looking to Jesus. Whether it's when you come and you put your trust in him and you are born again, it's simply looking to Jesus. Or whether it's you're facing a crisis and you don't know what to do and you look to Jesus. Or you get up in the morning and you're going out to the day, and you're simply looking to Jesus. That's what faith is. It's looking to Jesus. And these Colossians Christians had trusted in Jesus and were keeping on trusting in Jesus. He saw also their love, the evidence that their faith was genuine. If you have put your trust in Jesus, you will show love to other people. That's the evidence that your faith is genuine. Because God is love, and therefore his children will love. His children have come to experience his love, and so they will demonstrate that love to other people. And so he says, I see that in you, the fruit of the gospel, your love. And hope. I can see a hope in you. You're looking forward to a wonderful inheritance. And hope nourishes and strengthens faith. Christian hope has a strength and certainty about it because it rests on a firm foundation. It's not, I hope so, I think so. It's being absolutely certain because it rests on the character of God, that God is faithful, God is wise, God is all-powerful. And so my hope is certain. It rests on his astounding promises. He has given us an inheritance that is far beyond what we could ever imagine. What we have to look forward to as Christians is absolutely astounding. We can't even begin to grasp it. That's the hope we have. And it's based on the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus, as he rose from the dead, he was the first fruit. And so we look forward to our own resurrection from the dead. On Friday, Marion and I went to a funeral towards Hereford of somebody that Marion had grown up with, that she knew very well. Well, she knew the husband as well. And throughout the whole service, there was this note of hope. The service was a wonderful celebration of her life, but of the hope that the Christian has. And so Paul, as he looks at these Christians, he says, I see faith in you, I see love, and I see hope. Now, I think that every time we pray for each other, we should begin by giving thanks to God. Thank you for so-and-so, that you have saved them. Thank you for what I see of faith and love and hope in them. As we pray for Christians around the world, we should begin by giving thanks to God that he has saved them. The gospel has worked in their lives. And so there is faith and love and hope working in them. You see, I think when we give thanks to God, it's as if we're putting gospel glasses on and we see people differently. You see, without these glasses, I can't really read what's here. I need the glasses to read. And it's the same when we don't have the gospel glasses on, we see all the faults of people. That they're not quite what we were hoping for. They said this last week, and we can find many, many faults in each other. When we put the gospel glasses on, we look at people differently. We see that God has worked in them. God has changed them. They're not there yet, but neither are you. You've got many faults, but God has worked, and there's evidence there of faith and love and hope. So let's be those who begin with thankfulness as we pray for each other. But then we go on to pray for growth in essential areas. And as we look in the passage here, we see that Paul rejoiced in what God had done, but he's not complacent. He's not content to rest there. He says, that's wonderful. Now I want you to keep growing. It's a good beginning there, good evidence of the gospel at work, but I want you to grow. And so we see his ongoing commitment to prayer for them. Look at verse 9. For this reason, now what is the reason? The reason is he's just talked about the evidence of the gospel at work. Because I can see the evidence of the gospel, therefore I want to keep praying for you. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you, and so on. So Paul is committed to praying for them. I want to keep asking God. I'm keeping on day after day, week after week, month after month, praying for you, that God will do certain things, that he will enable growth in you. Now, what are those things that he is looking for? What is the growth that he is praying for? Well, you know, when we pray for each other, and we've done it so this morning, we've prayed for those in need. We've prayed for those who are grieving. And it's right that we do that. Those are difficult times, and so we pray for each other. At other times, we pray for those who are going through ill health and struggling. And so we pray for these things, and that's right. But sometimes we forget, when everything seems to be all right in a person's life, we don't pray for them. But we need to pray for them that they will grow in certain areas. These are the basic things that we need to be praying for each other. And the first thing is the knowledge of God's will. Go back to verse 9. He says, I haven't stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, when you hear God's will, knowing God's will, what is the thought that comes to your mind? And I think quite often it is, what is the job I should do? Where should I live? Who should I marry? That's what comes to mind as we're thinking about what is God's will. That's not what Paul is talking about here. What he's talking about is, how should I live as a Christian? How should I live according to God's word? That's the basic thing, knowing God's will. What does he want me to do in my life? You see, the Bible is a wonderful gift God has given to us. It's our textbook for life. This is how we should live. This is how we can know God's will. He has given us the Bible, and the Holy Spirit helps us, gives us wisdom and understanding as we read it. He opens it up and makes it live. He clears our thinking, and so we begin to think properly as we read the Bible. So knowing God's will is taking the textbook and studying it and asking the Holy Spirit to help us understand it. You know, I'm amazed that sometimes, whether we're a doctor or engineer or whatever our job is, we can spend many hours studying our textbooks. And that's right, we should do that, because we want to be the best doctors, accountants, teachers, whatever it is. So we need to study our textbooks. But it's easy to so concentrate on that, and we actually forget the textbook of life. We leave it to one side, and occasionally we look at it, but this is the basic textbook for knowing the will of God. Then he prays that they will grow in holiness. Look at verse 10. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. It's one thing to know what the Bible teaches, to say, well, this is God's will. It can be another to actually live it out. And Paul says, I'm praying that you will grow in holiness. If you're a Christian, you bear the name of Christ. You are Christ's one. And so we want to live in a way that doesn't dishonor the name of Christ. So that when somebody looks at us, they say, so that's how a Christian lives. You can't trust them. Look at the way that they talk about other people, they gossip about other people, or whatever it is. We don't want to bring dishonor to the name of God. We are Christ's ones. We are the children of God. And so we are called to be holy as he is holy. He is absolutely pure and holy and just and right. He always does what is right and good. He's full of good deeds. He pours out his grace on everybody. And so Paul says, we are to bear good fruit in our deeds. Just listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. Just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. And so we don't want to dishonor the name of God. We want to bring honor to him. Holiness is about being like Jesus, full of grace and truth. And then we want to pray for each other that we will grow in power. Paul talks about being strengthened with all power, amazing power. Look at verse 11 and 12. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. When he talks about this incredible power, he's talking about the power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's power. Nobody can do that. And yet God, on the third day, raised Jesus from the dead. And he says, I'm praying that that same power will work in you. Now why? Is it so that we can do spectacular things? Well, it may be that God does empower us to do amazing things, but that's not what Paul is praying for here. He is praying that you will be given the power so that you can endure. You will show endurance and patience. That's what I'm praying. You'll be strengthened with all power so that you will endure. You will keep going. You won't give up. I mentioned that we went to a funeral on Friday. And this lady had MS for 16 years. And the last couple of years was very difficult for her physically. But one of the things that came out from the service was her strong faith all the way through it. Even as her own body was becoming weaker and weaker, she endured. She kept going. And just a couple of weeks before she died, the minister who took the service said to her, what is your faith like? Said, no, it's strong. Now, where did she get the strength from? It was the resurrection power of Jesus that was at work in her. But not only in her, but also in him. Imagine 16 years and you watch your wife gradually deteriorate, getting weaker and weaker, less and less able to do things. And yet he had a wonderful endurance. He got involved in cycling to every football club in the country, raising money for the MS Society. She had multiple sclerosis. And he came to Reading Football Club and stopped off at us. But in all his cycling, he was raising money for the MS Society. And there was a note of joy there in all that he was doing. He took her to places where you don't really take disabled people, but he was not going to leave her out. So he took her to those places. And whenever he was involved in something, he would quickly go home, because although she had carers at home, he wanted to be there with her. Where did he get the endurance to keep on going with joy? The resurrection power of Jesus. That's what enabled him. to endure. And that's what Paul is praying for. I'm praying that you will experience the resurrection power of Jesus at work in you, so that you won't give up. Endurance and patience. Maybe endurance is to do with our circumstances, and patience is to do with difficult people. Because sometimes we find people can be difficult, but we need power to be able to cope with those difficult people. But to do it with joy. And Paul is not talking about a grim determination to grit your teeth and, I've got to put up with this. No, he's talking about to endure with joy. The Message puts it like this, those two verses. We pray that you'll have the strength to stick it out over the long haul. Not the grim strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength God gives. It's the strength that endures the unendurable and spills over into joy, thanking the Father who makes us strong enough to take part in everything bright and beautiful that he has for us. Praying for each one of us to grow in our knowledge of God's will, in holiness, and in power to endure. Well, let's close with being a participant, not a spectator. Every one of us is called to pray for each other. God has called us to do that. We don't leave it to the elite people to do that. Every one of us has been called to pray for each other. And as we pray for each other, let's make sure that, first of all, we don't criticize one another or criticize others, but we give thanks to God for them. Let's learn more and more to give thanks to God for each other. Let's pray for one another's growth, that we'll learn to know God's will as we read the Bible, that we'll grow in holiness to become more like Jesus, that we'll grow in power to be able to endure whatever it is we face, and whatever people we face, we'll have the patience that God gives to us. And let's make sure that we plan to pray. As I said, it's so easy to be busy. And we need to learn to plan to pray, to say, I'm putting this side of time to pray. In the morning, in the evening, whenever it is, this is the time, and I want to guard it. So plan to pray. As we pray for each other, we have a wonderful gift to help us praying for each other, this prayer directory. And in it, there are three people each day we can pray for. And it's done in such a way that you put your own name, you look for your name, and then that's day one. And then day two is the next three, group of three. And day three, the next group of three. And so every month, we can be praying for each other. So it's a wonderful tool. Make sure you have it available to pray, so we can pray. Give thanks to God. Pray for growth. Now, if your name isn't here, and you'd like it to be, well, please let us know, so that we can include it. We can put it in the new sheet and people can write it in. It's in alphabetical order, but it's a wonderful tool. Let's use it. When we pray for Christians around the world, here's another tool. Praying for our mission partners, those that have gone out from here as missionaries around the world. And so as we pray for Gary and Naoko in Japan, we pray for the Christians there. We give thanks to God for them. We pray that they will grow in the knowledge of God's word, grow in holiness, grow in endurance. And the same as we pray for Christians in India, in Eastern Europe, in France, in Brazil, in Uganda, in Nigeria, in Zambia, and so on. All here. Wonderful tool. And again, you don't have to pray for it all in one day. You can just mark it out. So many in this week, week one, week two, week three, and so on. Let's pray for one another. Let's pray for others around the world. And then, why not meet with a prayer partner? I know some of you have already started this. Meeting with somebody else, just to pray with them, a regular basis. Come to times of prayer when we can pray together on a Wednesday morning, in the life groups, Sunday evening. Come together so we can pray for one another. But let's be those who take seriously what Paul is saying here. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for what you have done in our lives. We thank that the gospel has borne fruit in our lives, and we want to more and more live according to your will, more and more become like Jesus, more and more be strengthened so that we keep going to the end with that hope burning brightly within us of the inheritance we're looking forward to. Amen.